Be sure it's true when you say I love you. It's a sin to tell a lie. Millions of hearts have been broken just because his words were spoken. I love you, yes I do, I love you. But if you break my heart, I'll die. So be sure it's true when you say I love you. It's a sin to tell a lie.
City by the Golden Gate. This is KSSR DB San Francisco, Swing Street Radio, where the big bands swing. Yesteryear, a look back at your favorite dramas, westerns, comedies, and musical variety shows from the golden age of radio. Here's your host for Yesteryear, Craig Roberts.
Well, thanks, Dave, and welcome again to Yesteryear, the best from the golden age of radio. On today's program, two special shows for you. Coming up in our second half, it's A Tale Calculator to Keep You in Suspense with Fear Paints a Picture, But first, on the lighter side, let's turn back the clock to February of 1944. It's The Life of Riley, starring William Bendix as Chester A. Riley. The Life of Riley aired on radio from 1944 through 1951 with movie star William Bendix as America's favorite hard hat. The son of a noted concert conductor, Bendix got his start in WPA theater before achieving Broadway success in The Time of Your Life. Although the former minor league ball player starred in dozens of Hollywood films, including The Babe Ruth Story and Alfred Hitchcock's Lifeboat, he was always best remembered for his portrayal of the lovable Chester A. Riley. On today's program, it's Sissy's Marriage. Chester tries to get his friend Otto to propose to Riley's spinster sister, but she has her eyes on that no-good Hugo. From 1944, here's William Bendix as Riley in The Life of Riley.
Major Bowes, I miss the shadow knows, Fred Allen's alley folks, the laughter of Duffy's Tavern, Helen Trent, then we went to Can You Top This? Suspense in the Whistler sent those shivers up our spines. Uncle Don, I wish that he was on. Jack Armstrong, Burton, Marge, Amos, and Andy. I long to turn the dial again to hear the past smile again. Radio, I miss you. Sodio, vodio, dodio, do. Radio, I miss you so.
The Life of Riley, starring William Bendix as Riley. Chester A. Riley is more than a husband and father. He's a brother, a loving brother dedicated to finding a husband for his unmarried sister, Cecilia.
Hey, Pop, what's burning?
Nothing's burning, Junior.
Well, I smell something.
Oh, that's perfume. I'm spraying it around.
Perfume? Yeah. With a flit gun?
Yeah, stand back.
Oh, what is that stuff, Pop?
It's perfume. You see, what with your Aunt Sissy still being single, well, Otto Schmidlap is calling on her tonight, and I think he's ready to pop the question. When he gets a snootful of this perfume, he'll be in the mood.
It's kind of strong.
Yeah, it better be. It's the latest thing from Paris. Girl in the 5 and 10 told me. And it's expensive, too, $1 a quart. Stand back, Junior. I want to spray the couch.
Pop, are you sure that's perfume in that flit gun?
Well, of course it's perfume.
Well, you're killing all the flies with it.
They're just swooning with love. And that's what's going to happen to Otto tonight. Put the lights on, Junior.
Okay. Hey, something's wrong. Only one light is burning.
Sure, I unscrewed all the other bulbs. It's more romantic this way. And that's not all I did. Sit down on the couch, Junior, on the end.
Here?
Yeah. Go on, sit down.
Hey, what's wrong?
Move over in the middle. See, it stops. Same thing with the other end. I fixed the springs that way. Now Sissy and Otto will have to sit in the middle, close together. Oh, that Otto won't get away tonight.
But Aunt Sissy doesn't like Otto. She likes Hugo Harari.
That loafer?
Well, I bet you'd rather marry him. I like Hugo better, too.
Okay, you can marry Hugo, but Sissy's going to marry Otto.
I still like Hugo.
I think the perfume's wearing off. I better give that couch a second coat.
Riley!
Yeah, in here, Dumplin'.
Riley, I wanted that. Who's burning leaves?
Nobody's burning leaves. Peg, come over here. Sit down on the couch here.
Oh, Riley, I got the dishes to do.
No, come on, sit down.
Oh, this couch. All right.
Not there, here in the middle, beside me.
Well, what is it?
Get a little closer to me.
Oh, Riley,
Come on. Yeah, that's it.
What are you up to, Riley?
Now, tilt your chin up like someone was going to kiss you.
Oh, Chester.
Yeah, fine. Hold it. Perfect. That light don't shine in your face, does it, honey?
No. The room's quite dark.
Yeah. It's better in the dark.
Yeah. Well,
Well, what?
Oh, aren't you going to kiss me?
Well, who put that nonsense into your head?
What?
Why should I kiss you? I ain't coming home from work.
Chester Riley.
Oh, you thought that I was... Gee, Peg, you're a regular woman. I was just testing. Otto Schmidlap's calling on Sissy tonight. I think he's going to pop the question. I was just setting the stage, setting the mood of the room.
Oh, so that's it. Now, look, you've got to let Sissy run her own life.
Well, I'm just trying to help romance along.
But she doesn't care for Otto. She told me so. She likes Hugo Harari. Frankly, I like Hugo better, too.
How can you even compare a fine boy like Otto with that Hugo, a no-good gambler?
Oh, just because he's silly enough to play the horses once in a while doesn't make him a gambler. Anyway, that's Sissy's business. I don't think that Otto's such a prize.
What are you talking about? He comes from a wonderful family. His mother was a Fendelkraut. They've got a terrific business. Fendelkraut sauerkraut.
Maybe so. That Otto, you know, he isn't too bright in the upper story.
Otto, not bright? Why, he pulls down $100 a week.
Yeah, that's what the family pays him to stay away from the business. He told me so himself. That's how bright he is.
Okay, so Otto's a rich moron, but Hugo's a gambler. Who would you rather marry, a gambler or a moron?
I made my choice 18 years ago.
How can you say such a thing about me? I never gambled in my life.
Oh, hello, Peggy. Hello, brother
hello,
dear.
Sissy.
Oh, hello, Sissy.
I was just over at the hairdresser's.
Oh, your hair looks lovely.
Yes, I had it cut in the new bob.
Peggy, I think your pork chops are burning.
No, dear, I'm not cooking pork chops.
Well, I smell something.
Oh, that's me. I mean... I got some news for you, Cecilia, darling.
Oh, I have news, too.
Yeah?
Someone's coming to see me tonight.
Yeah, who told you?
He phoned me this afternoon. He said he has something important to ask me.
Oh, that Otto, a fast worker.
Oh, not Otto. Hugo.
Yeah, but, Sissy, I thought Otto is...
Oh,
is
I wouldn't have my hair done just for Otto.
Now, look, Sissy, that Hugo is no good. I want you to stay away from him.
Riley, you mind your own business.
This is my business. I don't want Sissy to make a mistake she'll regret the rest of her life.
Hugo's a perfect gentleman.
He's a no-good loafer, never works.
He is not. He's looking around for a business to invest in.
He's just a gambler. It's in his blood. You show me a man who gambles, and I'll show you a man who'll desert his wife, beat his kids, and steal money from his boss.
But he said he's gonna quit gambling.
Yeah, when did he tell you that?
Tuesday.
Well, then he lied, because on Wednesday I gave him $2 to bet on a horse for me. You stay away from that Hugo, you hear?
Psst, Junior. Junior, where's your mother?
She's in the kitchen.
Good. And your Aunt Sissy?
In the living room.
Fine. Look, Junior, I need your help. Otto's coming here tonight.
But Aunt Sissy says she's going to see Hugo.
Yeah, not if I see him first. I want you to go out on the porch and give me the high sign. If it's Otto, knock twice. If it's Hugo, knock once. I got to get rid of him. Now, go on. Go on now.
Oh, I don't know, Pop. I don't like this. If Mom finds out, she'll blow her top.
Well, don't you worry. I'll protect you.
Yeah, but who will protect you?
Come on, Junior. Help me out.
Well, okay.
Good. Now, remember, one knock for Hugo and two knocks for Otto.
Brother dear?
Oh, no, Sissy, I was just Junior.
Oh, I thought it was Hugo.
Maybe Hugo won't come tonight.
Oh, he'll be here, all right. He promised. Let me know as soon as he comes. I'll be in the living room.
I don't know what she sees in that Hugo. But then nobody ever knows what a woman sees in a man. They said the same thing when Peg got married. But I'm gonna snip this into butter out. It's Otto. What a break.
Hello, Mr. Riley.
You're late, Otto.
Well, I couldn't help it. A guy stole my car.
No kidding.
Yeah, I seen him. Just when I was coming out of my house, this guy gets in my car and drives off.
Oh, that's terrible. What'd you do?
Oh, I fixed him good. While he was driving away, I wrote down my license number.
That was quick thinking.
Yes, sir. Ain't no flies on me. I dip my clothes in DDT.
That's a good one. Come on in, Otto.
Hey, Hey, you sure it's okay you fixed it up with Sissy, huh?
Well, sure, it'll be okay. Now, remember, Otto, if you got something to ask Sissy, you better do it tonight before somebody steals it from under your nose.
Yeah, maybe the same guy stole my car, huh?
Well, you better work fast. Now, go on in. She's in the living room here.
Hey, I smell something.
Yeah, I know, burning leaves.
No, perfume.
Go on in there, quick. Go ahead.
Oh. Hey, Pop, how'd I do?
Swell, Junior. So far, so good.
Why are you getting down on your knees?
Shh. I want to see how that stupid Otto's doing.
What's he doing?
Nothing. Sitting at one end of the room and Sissy at the other. Oh, yeah, now he's reaching into his pocket for something. Yeah, from here, I can't tell if it's a ring or... a comic book. Two comic books. He's handed one to Sissy.
Hey, Pop, I hear someone outside.
Oh, that's Hugo. Open the door. I don't want him to ring.
Hiya, Riley.
What do you want, Hugo? This ain't no racetrack.
Got a date with a cute filly, Sissy.
No, you haven't. She left town this afternoon.
3-1, you're lying.
Beat it. Sissy don't want anything to do with you.
Well, Loney, love is a race, and Sissy ain't scratched me yet.
Listen, Hugo, you ain't gonna marry my sister.
5, I'll get you 10, I do.
If you do, it'll be over my dead body.
I'll give you even money on that.
Okay, wise guy, you're always handing out tips. Now let me give you a tip. You leave my sister alone or I'll get tough with you. And you better listen, because this is one tip you're getting straight from the horse's mouth. Now go on, get out. Out! Out!
Otto, you really have to go.
Well, I just got here, Sissy, and I got something to ask you. Something very, if you'll excuse the expression, personal.
Some other night, Otto, please. What's that?
Somebody at the window.
Well, I wonder who could be...
Sissy, open the window.
It's Hugo.
Hiya, Sissy.
Hugo, what are you doing here?
Just checking. Riley told me you weren't in, and I figured you were.
Oh, that brother of mine. I told him to tell me when you got here. Come on, climb in, Hugo. That Otto is here.
Yeah, well, I'll get rid of him.
Hi there, Otto, pal.
Hello.
Say, Otto, how'd you like some ice cream?
Ice cream? Oh, boy, I love ice cream.
Well, I'll tell you what. I'll pay for it if you go out and get it. Here, get a quarter's worth of pistachio.
Ooh, pistachio. That's my favorite kind. Okay, I'll go, and you'll get the 3 spoons ready.
Yeah, here. Go out the window. It's shorter. I'll give you a boost. There.
Okay.
Ups a daisy. Now get going, Otto.
Hey. Wait a minute. How do I know this isn't a trick to get rid of me? I bet you want to cut in on my date with Sissy. I ain't so dumb, you know.
Why, Otto, I wouldn't do a thing like that. I promise, while you're away, I won't even look at her.
That's right, and I won't look at Hugo.
Well, okay. But just to make sure, put out the lights.
Get away from that keyhole.
I just want to see how he's doing. Last time I checked, he was reading a comic book.
Hugo?
No, Otto.
I thought you...
I got rid of that Hugo. He won't come around here anymore.
Oh, have you been meddling again?
Shh. I want to see if Otto's made any progress. Ah, he finally got around to turning out the lights. It's dark. Uh-huh. He's on the couch. Now she's on the couch. It stopped. They're together at last. I think he's kissing her.
What did you do to that couch?
I turned it into a love seat. Well, I think everything's under control. Let's go to the movies, huh?
Oh, honest, Riley, if you don't stop interfering...
Hey, I know what I'm doing. Now, come on, let's go. We're late for the movies.
Oh, hello. You going out? I got some pistachio ice cream.
Oh, no, thanks. We're going to the movies, but you go in the living room and ask Otto if he likes pistachio. Good night. Come on, Peg.
Riley, look
now,
how...
Please, Peg, don't start. Huh?
But Riley...
I know what I'm doing.
But Riley...
If we're going to the movies, let's enjoy ourselves. You know, Peg, that fellow went in the hospital just like Otto. He...
Wait a minute! Hey, Riley, you want some pistachio?
Out of my way, Otto!
Put on the lights!
Chester, guess what? Hugo and I, we're engaged.
No.
That's right, just popped the question. The little lady said yes.
Doesn't anybody want any pistachios?
What a revolting development this is!
Blue Ribbon will bring you the second act of The Life of Riley in just a moment.
You're listening to listener-supported Swing Street Radio. Swing Street Radio, where the big bands swing. The sounds of the golden age of radio continue with Yesteryear.
And now back to The Life of Riley, starring William Bendix as Riley with Paula Winslow and John Brown.
I tell you, I won't stand for it, and that's final, sissy.
But I love you, Hugo.
No baby sister of mine is going to marry a gambler. Rather than let you be stuck with him the rest of your life, I'm willing to be stuck with you the rest of my life.
Now, Riley, Sissy's old enough to make her own decision.
Sissy, you don't know what you're letting yourself in for. He'll never earn a living for you. The minute you come back from your honeymoon, you'll have to go out and get a job. That's no way to start married life, is it, Peg?
No. And I should know that's what happened to me.
Now, please, Peg, we're talking about Sissy.
But Hugo promised to give up betting on horses.
They always promise, but they never do it.
But I told you, he's just waiting till he gets a little money together he can buy into a cigar stand. All he needs is $200.
Now, Sissy, there ain't gonna be no wedding, and that's final. I have made up my head.
Chester, how could you?
It's no use turning on the waterworks. You ain't gonna get around me that way.
You're mean, that's what you are.
That may have worked when we were kids, but I ain't the softy I used to be. Well, cut it out now. It won't work. I'm too strong-minded. Now, you stop crying. It ain't going to do you any good. All right.
Oh, Chester.
Oh, Sissy.
$180, $190, $200. Yeah, it's all here, Riley. And while I don't like to get sentimental, I'm going to say thanks.
You're welcome, Hugo.
Now let go of the money.
No. Now, Jeff, I ain't doing this for you, Hugo. It's for Sissy. I want to see her happy.
Well, Sissy's happiness is my life's work, and that comes from the heart, Riley. Now let go of the money.
No. Not yet. This $200 here is every cent I had in the bank. It's your wedding present to invest in that cigar stand. But first, I got to be sure you're through with the horses.
Riley, believe me, I gave up the ponies 2 days ago. The minute Sissy said yes, I tore up my bookie's phone number. I'm a reformed character. I swear it.
Oh, no, that ain't enough. Swear by something you believe in.
Hand me that racing form.
What?
I'm tearing it up. Look, I'm tearing it. I give you my word. I place my last bet. I'll go the money.
Okay. You sound sincere, Hugo. I always can tell when a man's sincere. Okay, here's the dough. You put it in that cigar stand right away.
Thanks, Riley. You're a thoroughbred.
Well, count it again. Make sure it's all there.
Yeah, better. 5, 10, 15, 25, 35, 40.
And don't try to pull any tricks on me. You won't get away with it.
You got my word, Riley. 50, 50, 60, 65. That's the phone.
Well, keep counting. I'll get it. Hello?
Hello, Hugo.
He's busy. You got any message?
Yeah. Tell him I got the information on Sister Kate. She's a mutter.
Oh, okay. I'll tell him. Oh, congratulations, Hugo. Your sister Kate just had a baby.
Yeah. Yeah, swell. 70, 75, 80...
Remember what
80.
I'm telling you, Hugo. You're in the cigar business now, so don't try any fast ones. I'll catch you every time.
You can trust me, Riley. 80, 90, 95, 90...
Keep counting.
Yeah.
Hello?
Hugo?
No, Hugo's busy.
Tell him Uncle Charlie got the heaves and they're scratching him.
Okay. It's about your Uncle Charlie. He's got the hives and he's itching like crazy.
Poor Uncle Charlie.
I must have had something disagreed with him.
Yeah, he eats like a horse. 110, 20, 125.
You know, Hugo, I guess I was wrong about you. Any guy that takes such an interest like you do in his family, he's okay. I guess Sister Kate and Uncle Charlie won't be able to come to the wedding Sunday, huh?
Yeah.
Hello?
Yeah.
Tell Hugo I just got bad news about Grandpa Gus. He fell at Arlington Park and broke his leg.
Oh, that's tough.
Yeah, they had to shoot him.
Well, okay, I'll tell him. Brace yourself for a shock, Hugo. Your grandfather broke a leg and they shot him.
180, 190, 200.
Shot him? Give me back that money, you swindler. Your relatives are horses.
Okay, I admit it. I should have known I couldn't fool you, Riley.
You lied to me.
Well, I was just making a few last bets to get a stake together so I could get an honest business. But now I got your $200, I got my stake. I don't have to bet horses now. Isn't that logical?
Yeah, it's logical. Okay, I'm licked. I guess it would break Sissy's heart if the wedding was called off. I'll take one more chance on you, Hugo, but I'm warning you, if I ever catch you making another bet...
Riley, I swear, if I ever make another bet, may you drop dead. I'll let go of the money.
Riley?
Oh, here I am, Peg.
Where were you? I was looking all over for you.
I got a 50-pound cake of ice, and I was sawing it into cubes.
Well, we're ready for the ceremony. The judge just got here. Where's Hugo?
Oh, he's waiting. I locked him in our room.
Locked? Let him out, and let's get started.
Oh, no, not yet. Everybody isn't here.
Well, who's missing?
Well, oh, here he comes. Digger Odell. That's his car.
Why did you have to invite him?
Well, he's one of my best friends.
All right. But did he have to drive up in a hearse?
Greetings, folks. It is I, Digby Odell, the friendly undertaker.
We were waiting for you, Digger.
Oh, I'm so sorry I'm late. I had to drop someone first.
Oh, that's all right, Mr. Odell.
Oh, here you are, Mrs. Riley. I took the liberty of bringing some flowers for the bride. My favorite kind, crocus.
Thank you. Well, I'll go tell the judge we're ready to start. Now, Riley, you go find Hugo. Hurry up.
Okay, we'll be ready. Women get so excited at weddings, don't they, Digger?
Oh, everybody does. I remember my wedding day. After the ceremony, when I was supposed to carry my bride across the threshold of our cottage, I was so excited, I asked 5 of my colleagues to help me.
Well, come on, Digger. I better go get Hugo. He's in here. Hugo, come on. It's time.
Yeah. In a minute, pal.
Hey, stop fiddling with that radio and come on, Hugo.
Riley, shh.
They're backing Wheatfield into the starting gate now. They should break any second.
A horse race. Hugo, you didn't. You couldn't.
Well, it was a sure thing, Riley.
Hugo, not the whole 200. Tell me you didn't bet the whole 200.
Yeah, but it was a perfect hunch, Riley. Here's my wedding, and here's this filly in the second at Hialeah called I Do. Now, how can she lose?
You took every cent I had in the world and gambled it? How could you do this to me and to Sissy?
I'm intruding. I'd better leave.
Hugo, if that horse loses, you'll never leave this room alive.
In that case, I'll stay.
I tell you, Riley, I Do as a sure...
And they're off. At the start, it's High Resolve breaking on top, followed by War and I, Wheatfield Chutney, cover up, and I Do is failing.
He's last.
At the quarter, it's still High Resolve by a length, Chutney by a half. Wheatfield on the rail by a head, War and I by 3, cover up, and I Do.
Oh, he's still trailing, Hugo. You got 1 foot in the grave.
Riley, this is no time to talk shop.
At the far turn, High Resolve by a head, Chutney by a length, War and I by a neck. Cover up, closing on the inside. Wheatfield and I Do.
Oh, Digger, he's going to lose all my money.
I would have bet on cover up.
I Do ain't got a chance.
Now, don't give up. He'll win yet.
In the stretch, cover up, leading by half a length. High Resolve by a head. Wheatfield is now third. Chutney by a head. War and I is fifth. And here comes I Do.
Come on, I Do. Come on.
The straightaway, it's cover up by 1. High Resolve by a neck. Wheatfield by a head. And I Do coming fast. Approaching the finish line, it's cover up and I Do, head and head. It's I Do and cover up, I Do and cover up. And the winner by a nose, cover up.
He lost. I Do lost. $200. I'll murder you.
Riley, don't.
Get up, you phony, and take your punishment like a man.
I think he's out, Riley.
Correction, racing fans, it's a photo finish. The judges are studying the photo. It may be a dead heat.
A dead heat, oh, dandy.
From here, it looked like cover-up, but we'll soon have the official. Here it is, and the winner, paying 6-1, I Do.
I Do. We won. $1,200. Hugo, wake up. Hugo, we won. $1,200. Hugo, talk to me. It's me, Riley, your partner. Hugo. Oh, they're starting the wedding.
Pop, hurry up.
Hugo, Digger, what'll I do? He's out cold. Try and wake him up.
I'll try, but if I do, it'll be the first time. Come on now, Hugo, wake up.
Slap him, Digger, slap him.
Oh, it's no use. You'd best call off the wedding.
No, Sissy'll never get over it.
But the man is unconscious.
All right, we'll carry him in. You hold him by one arm, and I'll hold him by the other arm. Come on.
Very well. But this is the first time I've ever carried anybody in to a wedding.
And do you, Cecilia, take this man to be your lawful wedded husband?
I do.
And do you, Hugo, take this woman to be your lawful wedded wife?
Hugo, wake up, please.
Do you, Hugo, take this woman to be your lawful wedded wife?
Hugo, snap out of it.
Do you, Hugo, take this woman to be your lawful wedded wife?
Hugo, what looks good in the second at Santa Anita?
I do.
I now pronounce you man and wife.
In just a moment, Riley will return.
It's the most fantastic thing I ever heard of.
Now, Peg, they're married and they're on their honeymoon. Now, let's forget it.
Well, I don't even know if it was legal.
It's legal.
But Hugo was unconscious.
So what? Let's face it, Dumplin', if you got to get married, that's the best way to do it.
Hey, Riley, I'm delighted to hear that Sissy got married.
Well, thanks, Mr. Wallington.
Pabst Blue Ribbon invites you to join us again next week to hear The Life of Riley, starring William Bendix as Riley.
From February of 1944, there's William Bendix as Riley in The Life of Riley. When we return, a tale calculated to keep you in suspense, with Fear Paints a Picture, as the best from the golden age of radio continues here on Yesteryear.
You're listening to listener-supported Swing Street Radio. Swing Street Radio, where the big bands swing. The sounds of the golden age of radio continue with Yesteryear. Here's Craig Roberts.
Thanks, Dave, and welcome again to Yesteryear. Radio mysteries had their genesis in Depression America, when listeners sought escape in the shadows' sinister laugh and the horrific sounds of Lights Out. But it was suspense that achieved new heights in radio drama during the 1940s with original plays and serious adult adaptations of mystery fiction, presenting adaptations of stories by such acclaimed authors as Dorothy Sayers, Agatha Christie, and John Dixon Carr. Today we hear a sample of just one of those plays in a production called Fear Paints a Picture by Sigmund Miller. A young woman stands to inherit a fortune when she turns 21 if she doesn't go insane first, but begins to show signs of mental disorder when she insists figures in a picture are moving. Starring Bea Benaderet, Nancy Coleman, Edwin Maxwell, and Frederick McKay, it's Fear Paints a Picture from April of 1943, a tale calculated to keep you in...
suspense. This is the Man in Black, here again to introduce Columbia's program, Suspense. Our leading lady tonight is Miss Nancy Coleman, one of Hollywood's most powerful and resourceful young stars, whose performances you may have admired in King's Row, the current Warner Brothers picture Edge of Darkness, and other noted films. The story called Fear Paints a Picture is tonight's tale of suspense. If you've been with us on these Tuesday nights, you will know that suspense is compounded of mystery and suspicion and dangerous adventure. In this series are tales calculated to intrigue you, to stir your nerves, to offer you a precarious situation, and then withhold the solution until the last possible moment. And so it is with Fear Paints a Picture and Miss Nancy Coleman's performance. We again hope to keep you in... suspense. There is a picture hanging on a wall. You look at it casually. An extraordinary picture, you will say, skillfully done. Look at those fine brushstrokes, those superb colors. But isn't the subject matter a little bizarre? It is something more than just bizarre. But let us begin from the beginning. With the death of Benjamin Powell, a rich and strange man. There were dark rumors about the Powells. His wife had died many years ago. No one knows how. But Benjamin Powell had a daughter, Julia, a high-strung and neurotic girl. And many of us wondered about her, too. Benjamin Powell died, and in his last will and testament, he made Julia heir to all his considerable fortune, except that... But let me read you the will. I, Benjamin Powell, being of sound mind and in full possession of all my faculties, hereby request that after my death, my daughter Julia live with Mr. Harvey Lyons, my lifelong friend, until her 23rd birthday, at which date all my worldly belongings will come into her possession, provided that nothing untoward happens to her by that time. But in the event that she is incapable of taking over my estate upon her 23rd birthday, I hereby appoint Harvey and Laura Lyons as my final heirs, there being no other living blood relatives, and trust to their judgment that they will take care of Julia adequately and with kindness. Signed, Benjamin Powell. 3 months later, seated around the huge, ornate fireplace of the dark wainscoted living room, are three silent people. The heavy drapes that run from the high ceiling to the floor move softly in a gust of wind. For the past quarter hour, no one has spoken. Harvey reads his newspaper, Laura knits with nimble fingers, and Julia stares with unseeing eyes at an unopened book.
You're not reading, Julia.
I'm not concentrating.
Are you feeling all right?
I'm all right.
You do look a little tired, Julia. Perhaps you'd better get some rest.
I'm not tired, Harvey. I've been wanting to ask you.
In a week, Julia will be 23. Isn't that wonderful, Harvey? Next Tuesday's her birthday.
We'll have a party. I'll get old Tom and his fiddle, and we'll have a real old-fashioned party.
Harvey, what did Father mean by the will?
The will?
Julia, perhaps you better go to bed. You look a little pale.
The will said I might not be able to take over the estate by my 23rd birthday. What does it mean?
I don't remember that. I didn't read the will very carefully.
Yes, you did, Harvey. You know what I'm talking about.
Perhaps we'd better discuss it in the morning. You're tired,
I'm Julia. Not tired, Laura.
Please, Julia. I'd rather you wouldn't ask me.
That's a delicate handkerchief, Julia. Twisting it will only tear the lace.
I'm sorry. I didn't realize it.
It's one of your best handkerchiefs.
It's no use, Laura. I've got to know.
You're a very high-strung girl, Julia. And I'd rather not upset you before bedtime.
Upset me?
You sort of get moody very often, Julia.
Harvey.
Laura, I'm not going to bed until I find out what all this means. I've got to find out.
You don't like your room, do you?
No, I don't. It's too big. The wallpaper. I don't like the pictures on the wall.
There's nothing wrong with a big room. Everyone prefers a large room. Everyone likes pictures on the wall.
Well, maybe it's the kind of pictures. Yes, it's the pictures. They rub me the wrong way.
You see, your feelings about things are different. Different from the feelings of normal people.
Normal people?
Oh, I'm sorry. I shouldn't...
I can't stand this torturous way of telling her. I'll tell you, Julia. Your mother died in an asylum. She went mad after her 23rd year. It's been in the family for generations.
I never saw my mother. I thought...
We didn't want to tell you this. I wish we hadn't, but you forced us.
You mean I'm liable to become insane?
Well, you see, any one of us can become insane.
There's nothing wrong with me. I'm perfectly all right. I'm as sane as anyone. Being high-strung doesn't make me mad. I don't like it here. I don't like this house. I'm sane. I'm sane.
Of course you are, Julia. There's nothing the matter with you. You'll be all right. Your father wasn't sure, that's all. You're as sane as any of us. Come along. I'll take you to your room. We'll have a cup of tea together.
How is she, Laura?
She's calmed down.
Is she asleep?
No, Harvey. She's reading.
That must be Dr. Barrows. I'll open the door. Hello, Dr. Barrow.
How do you do, Mr. Lyon?
Come in. Come in.
Thank you.
This is my wife, Laura.
How do you do?
I'm glad to meet you, Doctor.
Let me take your things. The maid will have your room ready in a few minutes.
That's very good of you.
Here, sit down and make yourself comfortable.
Thank you. Well, how's Julia?
She's been very moody lately. Very moody.
She seems so unhappy. I've tried to draw her out, but I haven't been much good at it.
Is she still grieving over her father's death?
No, it isn't that. I don't think she likes our house. She has some queer ideas about her room.
And the wallpaper. She doesn't like that.
She doesn't like the pictures on the wall either.
I've caught Julia several times staring into the mirror, looking at herself with hate.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard her talking to herself very often.
That's nothing. All of us talk to ourselves once in a while.
I don't know, Doctor. I don't think she's very stable. There are things that go on in her mind that she won't talk about.
All of us keep things to ourselves, things we never talk about. Mr. Powell described Julia's case to me just before he died. I've had occasion to observe her just once.
Oh, you knew Mr. Powell, did you?
Oh, yes, for quite a number of years. I treated his wife.
Poor Mrs. Powell. She went mad. Started somewhat the same way as Julia.
Oh, I wouldn't make that comparison. So far, there's no basis for any such theory.
Well, then, let's say that Julia has strong dislikes. Took a hate to the pictures in her room.
Pictures, eh? I'd like to go up and see her, if she's not asleep.
Well, I guess it's all right. She's not asleep yet. Her room's the second from the right as you reach the top of the stairs.
Thank you. I'll just stop in for a few minutes.
Come in.
Hello, Julia. You remember me, don't you?
No, not exactly.
I'm Dr. Barrow, a friend of your father. I treated your mother.
My mother?
No, no, don't be alarmed. I'm staying with your guardians for a few weeks. Do you mind if I come in for a few minutes?
No.
Well, this is a fine room, Julia. A very comfortable one.
I don't like it. It's too big. It makes me uncomfortable.
Nonsense. You're just imaginative. You think someone might be hiding in here while you're asleep. Is that it?
It isn't that.
Don't you like that picture, Julia?
What picture?
The one you're staring at.
I wasn't staring at it. I just...
Just looking at it, eh? Looks like a fine painting.
I don't like it. I'm going to have it removed.
Kind of you like, Julia, but I don't think you should.
It's an unpleasant picture. It gives me nightmares. Look at it. That frightful-looking man about to come through the doorway and the unsuspecting girl sitting in a chair with her back towards him.
He's not frightful-looking at all. It's just the black scarf around his neck.
He's about to kill her.
You certainly have a vivid imagination. I'm sure the artist had no such idea in mind.
I hate the picture. I'm going to ask Harvey to take it out of here.
No, Julia. You mustn't be afraid of it. The longer you keep looking at it, the less afraid of it you'll be. You've got to conquer your fears or they'll conquer you.
Well, that picture has a horrible fascination for me. I can't take my eyes from it. Last night, I dreamed that the man in the picture came through the door with a knife in his hand and killed a girl. It was an awful dream.
But that was only a dream. If I take that painting off the wall, you'll find other things to be afraid of. Now, you do as I say. Forget about that picture. Get a good night's sleep. Nothing like a good night's sleep to lift your spirits. If that picture fascinates you, keep looking at it. Don't be afraid of it. Will you do that?
Yes, Dr. Barrow, if you say so.
That's fine. I'll see you in the morning. Good night, Junior.
Good night.
In this big rambling house of Harvey Lyons, midnight came and went. One by one, the lights went out, and soon the whole house was blackened by the cover of night. Not a single light gleamed from any window, the ominous rumble of an approaching thunderstorm. Julia's room, the large room with its many pictures, she was dreaming again of the man in the picture. The figure with the flowing black scarf is alive. His hands grow longer and longer. Julia tosses in her sleep as if trying to avoid him, trying not to look at him.
Oh. Who's there? Oh. It was only thunder. What a terrible dream. That awful picture. What was that? There's someone in this room. Someone's hiding in this room. The light. Where's the switch? Where is it? Oh, here. There's no one here. It's coming from the ceiling. From up above me. It's my imagination. There's nobody there at this hour. Nobody. I've got to go back to sleep. Dr. Barrow said I need sleep. Julia, what happened?
Oh. Julia, out here in the hallway.
Pull yourself together, Julia. That man.
What man?
The man in the picture. He's moved.
What do you mean?
The
picture. The man at the door, he's not at the door. He's inside the room.
You must have been dreaming.
Of course, dear. It was only a dream.
I heard a scream and I... Julia, what's happened to you?
She says she saw a man in one of the paintings move.
Oh, I see.
He did move. I saw it. He's not outside the door anymore. He's inside.
You dreamed that, Julia.
That's what I said.
It wasn't a dream. Thunder wakened me. I woke up and heard footsteps coming from the ceiling. I thought it was my imagination, and then I looked at the picture. The picture I told you I didn't like, Doctor. The man was inside the room.
That's hardly possible, Julia. Figures and pictures can't move.
Of course not. It was just a bad dream.
No, it's true. I saw it.
Come along, Julia. We'll all take a look at the picture.
No, I don't want to go back into the room.
No. There's nothing to be afraid of.
Come on, Julia. Don't be frightened. You've got to fight off these delusions.
Here, give me your hand. Come along.
Well, now, what picture was it?
The one near the bed.
Oh, yes, the picture by Gregory.
It's one of our oldest paintings.
Well, there it is. It's the same as I saw it a few hours ago. Look at it, Julia.
I can't believe it.
The man with the black scarf is still outside the door. And he'll stay there until that picture crumbles to dust.
I could have sworn I saw him inside the room approaching the girl.
Dreams can be very vivid. And there are no footsteps coming from the storeroom.
I must be out of my mind. I could have sworn...
Nothing at all, Julia. All of us occasionally have vivid, realistic dreams. Once I dreamed I was being chased by a herd of elephants. It was so real I heard the thundering footsteps even after I woke up. It was so...
Delusions can be very real horrifying.
You do believe, don't you, Julia, that it was only a nightmare?
Yes, I think so.
If Julia wants to, I'll take the picture out of her room.
I don't think it's wise.
You have to fight these unreasonable fears.
That's true, Julia. Never give in to them.
Well, I'll go crazy if I keep looking at that picture.
It might be the other way around, Julia. If you run away from it, the mental disease prevalent in your family will take firm hold in you. You will get worse and worse, as Dr. Barrow says, until you'll be afraid of your own shadow. You'll be afraid of everything, of everyone you meet. Afraid to be alone, afraid to be with people, afraid of yourself, afraid of your own clutching fingers.
No, no, don't tell me anymore.
Please, Mr. Lyons, there's no need for this kind of talk. Julia, look at the picture. It's nothing but some paint on a canvas with a frame around it. There's nothing about it that can harm you. And the danger lies in yourself. You've got to keep staring at it as often as you can by candlelight or in the dark until you've learned to laugh at it.
It won't be easy.
I'll try.
That's fine. I knew you had courage.
I'll get you a sedative so that you'll be able to sleep.
I'll be all right in the morning. I'm sorry I became hysterical.
And I'm sure you won't let yourself go anymore.
I promise.
You're sure you're not afraid, no?
No, I'll be all right. I'm sure I'll be all right.
You're listening to listener-supported Swing Street Radio. Swing Street Radio, where the big bands swing. The sounds of the golden age of radio continue with Yesteryear.
Well, Julia, it's 11 o'clock. You know what Dr. Barrow says.
I'm not at all sleepy, Laura. I'd rather stay up for a while. I'm in the middle of a fascinating story. You run along. I'll go to bed presently.
Is anything wrong, Julia?
No, of course not. Everything's fine, Laura.
You're afraid to go to sleep, aren't you, Julia?
No, it isn't that.
Is that picture bothering you again?
Yes. Last night, I heard footsteps again. Sound woke me, and the figure in the picture, it moved. It moved closer to the girl.
Oh, how terrible. Why didn't you call me? We thought you were over it. It hasn't bothered you these past 3 nights.
Oh, I didn't want anyone to know. I took some sleeping tablets and I fell asleep again. In the morning, the picture was the same as ever.
That's a brave girl.
Laura. Laura, do you think I'm crazy?
Of course not. You're as sane as I am.
Tell me the truth. I must know.
You're just nervous and high-strung, and you have a vivid imagination, that's all.
You're trying to soothe me.
Why didn't you tell the doctor that you thought the picture moved?
I was ashamed.
You shouldn't be ashamed. Dr. Barrow is here to help you get well.
I don't think you are.
Oh, that must be Harvey and Dr. Barrow now.
Hello, Laura.
I've arranged to have old Tom and his fiddle here tomorrow night for Julia's birthday. And I've invited the Grovers. They'll be delighted to come. That is, if Julia's feeling well.
Julia, you should be in bed. It's after 11.
She's afraid to go to sleep. Please, Laura.
It's the footsteps in the picture again, isn't it?
Yes, Doctor, it moved again. At least I thought it moved, but I went back to sleep.
Well, that's an improvement. At least you didn't get hysterical and try to run away like the last time.
But you were all right for a few nights.
It's come back.
There isn't much I can do for you, Julia, except to tell you to go to sleep. Fight off these delusions. You've got to do that.
Come, Julia, I'll go with you to your room.
Well, perhaps you can sleep in my room tonight, Laura. Just tonight. I feel a lot more comfortable tomorrow night. I'll be able to face it alone much better.
No, Julia, that would be an admission of defeat.
All right, if you think it's best. Good night.
Good night, Julia.
Well, keep up your courage.
It doesn't look so good, does it, Doctor?
Well, not too good, but it's not hopeless. She has an unstable mind subject to delusions which become very real to her. Her obsession about the picture is not so bad. We all suffer occasionally from optical illusions. But hearing footsteps coming from the storeroom above her...
Storeroom? How did you know there's a storeroom above her?
Your wife told me.
Oh, of course. Well, that storeroom hasn't been opened in years. I guess there's no point in investigating it, is there?
I don't think so. Those footsteps, like the moving figure in the painting, are all in her mind.
Her mother behaved just like that before she went mad, didn't she?
Well, there's some similarity. You haven't been to the storeroom recently, have you?
No, I just mentioned to you that it hasn't been opened in years.
Oh, yes, so you did. Forgive me for not listening more closely.
That's perfectly all right, Doctor. Well, I just hope that Julia will be well for her birthday party tomorrow.
Oh, I had no idea she was having a birthday. How old will Julia be?
She'll be 23.
Well, I must remember to get her a gift.
Oh.
Well, I guess I'll go to bed.
So will I. I'll see you in the morning.
But Julia wasn't thinking about her birthday. During the 10 or 15 minutes she spent in Laura's room, fear fluttered in her heart. When she finally stood alone inside her own room, panic, black, unreasoning panic began to take hold of her. In wild haste, she began to undress, never looking at the picture.
I won't look at it. I won't. I'll go right to sleep. I'll take some pills and fall asleep. What was that? Oh. It was nothing. Nothing at all. All I have to do is keep from looking at the picture. I won't look at it. It can't do me any harm if I don't see it. I mustn't even think of it. I'll think about the trip I made to South America. It was a wonderful trip. The sunset. What was there? Footsteps. Those footsteps again. I mustn't hear it. It was a wonderful trip. The blue Caribbean. Rio's a beautiful city. Sugarloaf Mountain. The music. The dancing. Those footsteps. It's not footsteps. It's just my heart beating. I'll close my eyes. I'll sleep. Sleep. Why can't I see? Oh, Lord, let me sleep. I don't want to look at the picture. I won't. I know what I'll see. He'll be closer to her. Maybe he'll have killed her. I mustn't open my eyes. I mustn't. I won't. I... I've got to look at it. Close to the girl. I'm not dreaming. It's real. Girl? It's me. That girl is me. Me. I can't stand it. I can't. Laura! Laura! Oh, Laura, Laura, let me in. Let me in.
Julia. Oh, you poor girl. Here, sit down. Now stop crying and tell me all about it. Tell me in detail. Don't be ashamed. Get it out of you. It'll do you good to talk.
It's the same thing again and again. I try not to look at the picture. I tried so very hard, but it was hopeless. I had to. The figure with the black scarf was inside the room, a knife in his hand, very close to the girl. But this time the girl had turned around and it was my face. My face.
Did you hear any footsteps?
Yes, I heard them as soon as I got into the room.
You think it's very real, don't you, Julia? Despite the fact that everyone says it's a delusion.
It's very real to me. I must be really insane. I'm going crazy.
Don't say that.
It's no use. I'm not getting any better. It's getting worse and worse.
Don't give up. You mustn't. Come along. I'll go to your room with you. I'll stay there until you fall asleep. Unless you want to stay here.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know what to do. Will you stay with me, Laura?
Yes, Julia. Come, let's go back. Well, the picture doesn't seem to...
What's the matter, Laura?
Nothing. Nothing at all.
There. Did you hear it? Footsteps?
It was probably a board creaking. Now you go to sleep. I think everything will be all right in the morning.
You won't leave me?
No, Julia. I'll be here.
Thank you, Laura. Thank you very much.
Laura stayed in Julia's room until she was sure that she was fast asleep. Then carefully, she tiptoed out of the room, closing the door gently behind her. Julia slept peacefully, feeling safe and secure. Several hours passed, and then suddenly Julia awoke. She sat bolt upright and wide awake with her heart pounding away.
Laura. Laura, is that you? Laura! Oh, she's gone. She's left me alone. But I'm not alone. Something woke me. The picture. It's the picture. I must look at it again. If he's moved again, I don't know what I'll do. I'll turn around and look straight at it. I'll look straight at it. Oh! He's killed the girl. He stabbed her. He stabbed me. I'm the girl. Oh, I've got to get out of here. It's no use. I've lost everything. My reason, my sanity. I can't fight it anymore. I can't fight against you and the black scarf. And now you're here. I can touch you. I can feel you. It's real this time. What do you want me to do? No. I won't run away. I won't scream. Do I want to spend the rest of my life in an asylum like my mother? No, I don't. You're pointing at the window. You want me to open the window? Yes, I'll open it. You say it will be best for everybody if I jump. Yes, the only way out. The only way. I'll do it. I'll do it now, without thinking. It will only take a moment.
Julia! Julia!
Julia! Hurry, Laura! We came just in time. I've got her heart. Is she safe? I'm safe.
You can come out from behind that chair, my friend.
Friend?
Come out or I'll shoot.
I don't understand. My head's going around in circles.
I can explain everything. I was merely observing Julia.
Dr. Barrow!
Procedure was a little unusual.
I'll do the explaining, Dr. Barrow. You tried to drive Julia crazy.
Tried to drive me crazy?
That's right. He tried to do it with the picture.
You're all making a serious mistake.
Mistake? Look at the picture. The figure is inside the room stabbing the girl. No, it wasn't your imagination, Julia. He painted several pictures, each one of them with a figure close to the girl. He used the storeroom upstairs. That's why you heard footsteps.
I got suspicious when I found a black scarf in his room. And when I looked at the picture a little while ago, it was full of dust. I dusted it off myself a few hours before.
Yes, and Dr. Barrow seemed to know there was a storeroom above you. I couldn't understand how he knew that since it had been closed for years.
But why? Why should he want to drive me crazy?
Because he's not Dr. Barrow. He's Ralph Powell, your cousin, who disappeared many years ago. Everyone thought he was dead.
After I got suspicious, Harvey and I went up to the storeroom and found a lot of pictures he's been painting.
This scoundrel is a very talented artist. He's been changing the pictures on the wall. His plan was to drive you insane and then contest the will, since he's your nearest blood relative.
Oh, horrible, and I really thought he...
I had no intention of killing Julia. I swear I didn't. I just wanted to frighten her.
Almost jumped out of the window. I might have been dead right now, lying dead outside.
Don't think about it, Julia. It's all over now. You're all right.
I'm not insane.
Of course not, Julia. Oh, I almost forgot. It's already Tuesday. Happy birthday, Julia. How does it feel to be 23 years old?
It feels wonderful.
Julia!
And so closes Fear Paints a Picture, starring Nancy Coleman. Tonight's tale of suspense. Appearing with Miss Coleman were Edwin Maxwell as Harvey Lyons, Fred Mackay as Dr. Barrow, and Beatrice Benaderet as Laura. William Spear, the producer, Ted Bliss, the director, Lucian Marowick, the composer, Lat Gluskin, the musical director, and Sigmund Miller, the author, collaborated on tonight's suspense.
From April of 1943, it's been Fear Paints a Picture on Suspense. And that does it for this edition of Yesteryear, but we invite you back again next week at this time to enjoy more from the best of the golden age of radio, right here on Yesteryear. Till next time, I'm Craig Roberts. So long.
Radio, remember radio. We'd sit and close our eyes and use our imagination. Comedy, mystery, a fireside chat. Together we sat, listening nightly to our favorite shows. Radio, I miss you so. Dio, volio, do, dio, do. Radio, I miss you.
KSSR DB San Francisco, where the big bands swing.